Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Good news for Indiana farmers. Purdue University says flooding losses this year will be much lower than expected. You remember that very wet spring we had. The corn and soybean crops were earlier expected to be down as much as $500 million. The new forecast is for a loss of, well, only $200 million. Corn yields are below normal, but soybean yields are actually slightly higher than normal. We went to talk with some family farmers out bringing in the crop recently. We talked with Adam Howell of Howell Farms in Middletown. He stopped his combine to chat with us on a windy day. He says the harvest is a lot of work, but it's worth it.
It's just the culmination of everything you've done for about 18 months or 24 months. It always has been a good time of year. The weather's usually enjoyable, and you're just bringing everything in. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel for some of the work for the year, and you just bring everything to a head, and there's something that feels good about that, I guess.
I asked him to explain to us what's happening as the combine chews through those acres of soybeans.
We're harvesting beans today. We're obviously starts at the front end that you can see that with the cutter bar, and it just takes the whole plant, takes it in the big head and brings it into the throat, or what we call the feeder house, and then goes into the main box part of the machine and is separating the grain from the chaff, as they say. And we're spreading the straw or chaff back out on the field. Grain's going into the grain tank to be collected to dump on a grain cart or a truck later on. Steering, except for when we're doing end rows or something like that, is satellite guided, which really sounds like just a little perk sort of thing, but it aids efficiency. We take a full 40-foot swath with that every time we go through the field, so we're not doing 39 or 38 or 36. We're getting the maximum capacity of the machine as we're going. It's really, these machines are really enjoyable to operate anymore. Very simple and almost idiot-proof, I guess. Even I can drive one.
But they're very complicated, aren't they?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of things, and there's a lot of moving parts and pieces, and there's one little thing goes wrong, and you're down till you can get it fixed. They make it, it's pretty easy on the operator, I guess I would say.
Is this life on the farm? I mean, when you've grown up in this, you describe your life to somebody who's not been out here.
Well, it's a lot of hard work. This is, like I said, this is a good time of year. This is fun. This is enjoyable. There's a lot tougher days than these. This is what you do it for, or part of what you do it for. There are days that just don't go nearly as smooth as this, and you spend more time fixing things and solving problems or working with a regulatory agency or who knows, just any of the nuisance things that you deal with so that you can get to this point, I guess.
Can you describe this year? I mean, we had the very, very wet. I mean, describe this year and then how it appears to be turning out.
This year was not very enjoyable in May, June, and early part of July. We had way too much water this year. It was difficult to get things planted in a timely manner. Doing a good quality job, and we're really worried about what the yield prospects were. It hurt our vegetable crops pretty bad, but the grain crops have, for the most part, they're yielding better than what we expected, and we've been happy with what we've done so far. We know we have some poor yielding corn ahead of us in some of the harder hit areas, but what we've done so far, we can't complain. It was just very difficult to tolerate the delays and the flooding and all that you couldn't do anything about.
Hitting on this idea of this is complicated, mm-hmm. Today. It's not as simple as it used to be.
I don't know that it's more complicated than it ever was, but it the scale of it is much larger these days, and so that brings in a lot of different management aspects. I guess there's human resources, agronomy, inventory, financial management, risk management, public relations. All of those things are things that we think about on a daily basis, where a few of those things my grandpa and others of that generation wouldn't have had to worry about. And it's not just not us by any means, but the modern family farm that wants to, I guess, preserve their place in the area as a viable business has to worry about all those things. So it's the landscape looks a lot different than what it once did.
Is it going to be there for you to pass down to your children?
Well, that's the goal. We do it because we love it, but we had the fortunate blessing that it was here to come into and work with and improve, and we would like to be able to pass that on to the next generation. I've got two sisters and one brother, and there are lots of kids in the next generation, and we hope that it will, if they have any interest. And I guess we see how different farming looked from the beginning of our dad's career to sort of the winding down of his career, and we can only imagine what's going to happen from here to the end of our career. We talked about how things look different than they did a generation ago, and I don't see any reason to expect it to stop now.
You got a college degree. You went off to school?
Mm-hmm.
Was that at Purdue? Or?
No, I went to Princeton.
What'd you study there?
Economics.
You have a degree from Princeton in economics.
Yeah.
Does that ever surprise people?
Well, I don't talk about it too much, but I suppose a little bit. I know when I first came back and was farming, I'd run into people that I hadn't seen for a while, and they'd say, so Princeton didn't work out, did it? But no, it's I don't like to dwell on that very much. Because,
but there had to come a time when you made a decision, right?
Yeah, it was an opportunity to go out there. I think it was a kind of a mind-opening experience. Yeah, I know I'm not working for anybody else. We're working for family here, and that's really enjoyable.
Do you remember what age you decided I'm going to come back home?
I think that I always knew that I would eventually. I considered doing something else for several years until basically the end of college, and then ended up coming back and almost directly.
Adam Howell, age 40, with four children, who runs Howell Farms with his brother Aaron, parents and sisters. We caught up with him harvesting about 200 acres of soybeans in a Madison County field. Coming up, what might be a surprising background for this family farmer?
I'll take the dirt road, it's all I know. I've been a-walking it for years.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
It may seem as if summer just ended, but this is indeed harvest time. You'll see combines churning through the fields of corn and soybeans, even late into the night. We talked with Adam Howell, who runs Howell Farms with his parents, his brother, and sisters.
You know, when I was talking to your mom, I said, you have to feel good your son's decided to do this. And she said, oh, yeah. I said, well, was it something that you did? She said, no, we didn't talk them into this or anything.
No. Well, they didn't try to talk us out of it by any means, but they did everything they could to get us to go other places and see other things and be able to make a decision knowing the alternatives, I guess. And we appreciate that. And it would have been cheaper and easier to pay in-state tuition, but they wanted us to not look back if we came back, I guess, was the main thing. And I don't think either of us have so far at all.
Do you ever talk to your former classmates and they look at what you're doing kind of wistfully? Like, you have to say, look, this is not paradise.
They're always interested because it's so different than the norm, I guess, for what most of my classmates did. But they see it as they've been around me enough and we've talked enough that they know he's running a farm business with his family. And I'm running a software solutions business, and there are different considerations to each But when it comes down to it, it's, you know, same ideas. So
it's a business. There are mm-hmm. inputs, there are costs.
Yeah.
There's planning, there's luck.
Yeah. Luck and blessings and trials, I guess. So
what are you going to do when this harvest is over? And when, I mean, does there come a day when you turn the key off for the last time and or you're all finished?
Well, yeah. When we wrap up harvest, there's a nice feeling of completion, but invariably there's tillage to finish, there's fertilizer to spread, there's grain to haul, machines to work on, and then more importantly, the more intense office work of planning the next year, of continuing all the efforts that we do to run the business, I guess. This is kind of a break. Being out in a combine is kind of a break from that. So.
What percentage of your time would you say that you're, if not wearing a business suit, thinking like a business person, thinking of these prices and when to sell and when to, how to?
Well, all of us, I mean, Aaron and my parents and I are constantly thinking about those sorts of things. Even if our hands are busy doing something in the field, I think every once in a while we force ourselves to relax and just pay attention to what we're doing in the field. But it's never far from mind.
Times were tough in the mid-80s. You would have been around 10 mm-hmm. years old or something like that. Do you remember? That was a very tough time for your parents. You talk about?
Yeah.
In other words, it's not all...
Right. Those were Aaron and all of us siblings. Those were our formative years. And mom and dad were kind of a rare breed that made it through that without any bankruptcy protection or anything. Being first generation on their own farm, being progressive and trying to grow, we grew up as a product of that. That kind of was the impetus to get into some of the vegetable crops.
Diversify
and not be so dependent on the Board of Trade. That was a ready-made spot for kids to work and help the farm out. We were able to pick green beans or sell apples in the retail farm market or deliver 30 dozen of sweet corn to a little grocery store or something like that. Those are our roots, I guess. We're just happy to have made it through that. I guess there's never a day or a decision made that isn't somewhere in the back of mind for Aaron and I.
Has it made you more cautious, do you think, than you would be otherwise?
Yes, it probably has, but there's still a little bit of genetics of let's go, let's do something here. But it's bound to have made us more cautious.
Is the way you grow in this thing, you find a patch of land over here that somebody will let you farm or you can buy?
Right. We're not, we've got a little bit of experience in Brazil where it really is just a big square of land where it's all together. But here we're 20 miles away from our home base, 25 miles away from our home base right here. And that's the way it is all over. We pick up, fold up, travel to the next field, and we hope that it's a good sized field to make it worth the move. And you try to consolidate a few acres in that same neighborhood, so it's not all, you know, you can move a couple miles and start in and just kind of a progression that way. But growth typically is defined by acreage growth, and that's a little bit dangerous, but what revenue growth is more important, profit growth is obviously more important, but land is the scarce resource in all this, I don't know if on the outside it can be perceived, but it's a very competitive business. We all need the land, and it's all being farmed now. So if someone is farming more, that means someone's farming less.
Adam Howell of Howell Farms in Middletown. They grow thousands of acres of corn, soybeans, tomatoes, and pumpkins. Adam stopped his combine to chat with us on a busy day recently as he worked to bring in the harvest. He was cutting beans that day and said he hoped to get about 350 acres done. Coming up, two brothers and their cousin, a much smaller version of the family farm, as we take time out to recognize the Hoosier Harvest.
Get back to the country.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
My name's Danny Schuyler.
Tell us what you're doing today and you know how you've been kind of really waiting for this week, really, for these weeks for a long time.
Yeah, we got our beans out here about a week and a half ago, and we put the corn head on the combine. We waited a few days to see what the moisture content was going to do and see what Mother Nature was going to do with us. And the moisture content got down dry enough, and we've had some real nice weather this fall so far to start shelling corn and taking that in and hopefully get done here in the next few days.
What kind of farming do you do? I mean, you're not a giant corporate farm.
We're strictly a family farm, just family business. We raise corn, we raise soybeans. We worked at General Motors, all three of us did. Steve worked there as an electrician and he retired.
That's your cousin?
Yeah, my cousin, Steve. He retired from Guide. My brother worked at Guide also, and as the jobs were leaving, Guide was shutting down, and so he had to transfer to Marion, and he retired out of Marion. And then I spent 36 years at Guide and retired in 2003. So
you had a
we've
day
all,
job.
Yeah, we've all been associated with farming all of our lives, ever since we was all kids. And we've more or less just now progressed to the point to where we've taken over the family business for now, and who knows what's gonna happen in the future. But that's how it is for right now.
How has farming changed since you were a youngster and getting into this?
Yeah, quite a bit. it's really hard to explain. I was broken in driving a tractor back when I was about age 12, and it was my dad's old tractor, which we still have today, and we still use it every once in a while. And went from basically raking hay out in the hot sunshine to now then we're in an air-conditioned cab and kind of dust-free to a certain degree, you know, which it's really changed a lot, quite a bit.
What is it that you like about this?
You're your own boss. To me, it's not work, it's fun. And I'm sure the two other guys, Steve and Richard, will tell you the same thing. It's not work, it's fun. We put a lot of hours in, but we have fun doing it. We get tired of a night, but the next morning it's just a brand new day and we're ready to go at it again.
Talk about this time of year, about all the preparations that led to this, and then you really need the good weather to harvest and everything.
Yeah, we start planning basically about 6 months in advance. As soon as we get this crop off the ground, we'll be planning for planting season. The way we operate, we want kind of things kind of wrapped up by December 31st of this year. We want things kind of wrapped up and the seed pretty much bought, fertilizer bought. So all we need to do is get our equipment ready to go and we can go into next spring, and we operate basically the same way for the fall. We start the minute we start getting done with the spring work, we start setting up for fall work. And it just kind of slides into it after that.
So all those years that you worked for GM, you were farming too.
Yeah, we held down a full-time job up there. And then we also farmed here. To give you an example, I worked second shift quite a bit. My brother worked days quite a bit. So I was here of a morning and my brother was here of an afternoon or when he got off of work. And it really worked out great with Dad. And then Steve, his dad, farmed. So he helped him out also on that end, so it worked out pretty good all the way around.
Is there less of that going on now?
I think there's less of it going on. A lot of jobs have left the country, a lot of people still work two jobs, but we were fortunate to have a good paying job when we were there. And that's not available anymore. And hopefully that gets changed somewhere down the line.
There's something about this lifestyle. You said it doesn't really feel like work. When you're driving a combine, when you're doing that kind of thing, can you kind of describe what you feel?
Oh. I just love it. I don't know really how to explain it any different, except that when you're on a tractor or you're up in the combine and you can look out over everything and you may see a fox off in the distance or whatever, you're going to see a lot of things out here that a lot of people's not going to see. And I love being free about it. I just love the atmosphere, and I love just love the work. It like I said, it's not work, it's just fun. You know.
In November, what are you doing?
Getting ready to go to Florida. No. No, that's not really true. You better cut that out. A lot of it has to do with Mother Nature, because the last couple of years we've been in the fields in November because of Mother Nature. This year, the way it's going so far, I think we're going to be out of the fields by November 1st. You know, unless a big front comes through, it's going to stay around for 10 or 12 days. But yeah, we normally, I mean, the last couple of years, it's been tough getting crops in for the fall.
A lot better this year.
A lot better this year.
That's Danny Schuyler, who farms about 600 acres in central Indiana with his brother Richard and cousin Steve. They've done this since they were kids, and as they grew up and kept the crops coming in, even while holding down factory jobs with GM. They've seen a lot of changes in farming over the years, science and technology making an incredible difference in how it's done. What hasn't changed? The love of that land and the family traditions we heard these folks tell us about. Even on a long day, and it's not unusual for them to keep working till midnight to get the crop in, they're enjoying the relief of finishing the harvest and maybe a brief rest before beginning to plan for it next year. And that, friends, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.